Father, we pray that as we come to listen to you, that you may speak to us by your word, and that we may see Jesus in seeing him, know him, in knowing him, love him, in loving him, serve him. And we pray this for your name's sake. Amen. How do people change? How can you change? You've been wanting to shed a few kilos, but you never seem to manage to get to the gym. You're fighting with your spouse over some minor thing again, and you realize that you've been stuck in the same pattern for years. It's late one night, you're feeling pretty low, you find yourself scrolling on Instagram until inevitably you're at that OnlyFans site. Whatever it is, all of us experience a gap between who we are and what we do and the person we would like to be, the person we know we should be. All of us know that change, deep, lasting change, is hard. So how can you change? Is change even possible? This is the second in our three-week vision series, and looking at how God has called us to be the light on the hill. Christ is the light of the world. In him we find our light and life. Through him we can know God as our Father and ourselves as his children. And so we hold out Christ as the light. Our mission is to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out, each one of us, to shine the light of Christ. Last week we saw how people might be drawn to the light of Christ here. We're called to love each other as Christ has loved us, to extend that welcome to others that God extends to us in the Lord Jesus. And this week we're looking at the second movement of our mission, to see people transformed by the light of Christ. And so we're asking the question, how do people change? Because that's what we want to see, isn't it? In our lives and the lives of those around us, transformed for the good. So whether you've been a Christian for many years or you're new, checking this whole Christianity thing out, my guess is that this is a question for you. How can you change? There's two parts to this question. The first is, what is our goal as human beings? Or, put another way, if we are going to change, what do we want to change into? And then second, how can we move toward that goal? These two questions are distinct and yet linked to each other. And the scriptures answer them together. So have a look with me at our key verse for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. If you've got a phone, you can look at it there. If you want a pew Bible, another book up the back, you can grab one of those, and it is on page 1123. So this is what the Apostle Paul writes. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect or all contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Verse 18 is one of those key verses in the Bible. I'd encourage you to read, learn, mark, inwardly digest this verse. This is how we as a church will see people transformed by the light of Christ. Even us. We put it like this in our vision booklet. We gaze upon Christ, growing more like him, to be secure, humble, and generous children of God in the power of the Spirit. Have you ever wondered what God's plan is for your life? Well, this is it, actually. His plan is to make you more like Jesus so that you reflect his glory. Each of us is made in the image and likeness of God, crowned with glory and honor. This is the incredible dignity and worth that God gives to each and every person. But tragically, that image is cracked and tainted. Each of us falls short for the glory for which we're made. We fail to love our neighbors as ourselves, let alone love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's the true image of God, the only one who has completely and wholly, truly loved God and loved his neighbor. He died to reconcile each of us to God, and he rose again from the grave to give us life and hope. And God's purpose is that as we give our allegiance to Jesus as our King, as we trust in him as our Savior, as we follow him as our Master, then God will work to restore that broken image in us. Jesus shows us how to be truly human. And this is what the Christian life is all about, changing and growing to be more like Jesus. God wants to make us shine with his glory. And I have to say that this is one of the singular joys of being your minister, that I get to see God's glory shining through you. I see it as people reach out to welcome the stranger. I see it in the care and delight you take in our kids. I see it as people learn to say no to self-destructive behaviors and yes to obedience to God. I see it in generous sacrificial giving, in people persevering through great suffering and hardship. I see it in small, unnoticed acts of thoughtful generosity, in decades of faithful prayer, in people comforting others with the comfort they themselves have received from Christ. I see it in tireless acts of service. And I've not named anyone to avoid embarrassing them, but there is a person behind each of those statements. And I'm not even scratching the surface. Are you looking for this in others? If you stick around at St. George's, you will be able to see God's glory shining through the lives of your brothers and sisters here. Magnificent. God's plan is to transform us so that we can shine like stars in this dark world. That's what we heard a couple of weeks ago from Jean in Philippians chapter 2. And that's not just us as a church. It's also us in our workplaces, our schools, our universities, our families, our world. So needs people who are secure in who they are. Who don't need to prove or justify themselves to others, but are able to bear up with grace and courage under pressure. Our world needs people of deep humility who lift others up who don't think less of themselves, but think of themselves less. Our world needs people of abundant generosity, who spend themselves in the service of others, who give themselves to make this world a better place, and who point others to Jesus, who's the one who gives all these things, the solid rock on which we stand, in whom we're secure. God's plan for us is to transform us to be like Jesus. But how does that transformation come about? Well, our text tells us. First, it says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who transforms us into the likeness of Christ. It's not something that you or I can do. Christianity is not a self-help religion. This is always and only the gift of God. And I have to say, I'm incredibly thankful that is the Holy Spirit at work to change us, because I know it is hard enough to change my own heart, let alone to change other people. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. But you know what God says to the prophet Ezekiel? I'm going to change hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And if Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, then surely that same Holy Spirit can change and transform you and me. And so we pray that God will change us and change those around us. Now, but this does not mean that we are passive in the process of change. Did you see how it is that the Holy Spirit does this work of transforming us? We who with unveiled faces all contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed. Your Bible might say that who reflect the Lord's glory. The verb there in Greek is a middle verb. It's kind of reflexive. It can mean both active and passive at the same time. So it's reflecting but contemplating. The Spirit changes us as we contemplate the Lord's glory. The picture actually that Paul uses here is from the prophet Moses. See, Moses used to go into the tabernacle, into God's very presence, to speak with God face to face. And when he came out, his face would be shining, radiant with God's glory. And Paul says that when we turn to Christ and we contemplate his glory, then like Moses, we will reflect that glory, will shine with that glory. This is how we change to become more like Christ. We contemplate his glory. In fact, one of the ways of describing the goal of the Christian hope is to see God face to face. That's what we all long for, isn't it? The Christian tradition has called this the beatific vision. Paul says that in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians verse 6, that in contemplating the face of Christ, we encounter God and see his glory. For God, Paul writes, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, of course, this side of the new creation, our vision of God's glory in the face of Jesus, is partial and fleeting. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians this time, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. Although this side of the new creation, our vision of God's glory in Jesus is only partial, it is still transformative. It is as we see Christ in his beauty, his majesty, his power, his love for us, that our hearts are melted, drawn out to love him in return. And you know why? That is because his glory is to love the unworthy. His glory is to forgive the guilty, even you and me. And when you experience that kind of unconditional love, well, you can't help loving God in return. Encounter Jesus and you will be changed. This is why we had that wonderful reading about Zacchaeus. His encounter with Jesus transformed him from a greedy extortionist fleecing his fellow countrymen to be a generous benefactor. What did Zacchaeus say? "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." That is radical transformation. Praise God. Amazing. Well, if it's through encountering Jesus that we are transformed, how do we encounter Jesus today? Well, the answer that theologians have given through the ages is called the means of grace. So what are these? The means of grace are the very ordinary things through which we slow down to gaze on Christ, and that the Holy Spirit uses to transform us to be like him. See, our problem is that we have short attention spans and forgetful hearts. There's all sorts of things that compete for our affections and promise transformation and satisfaction. And that is why we need to keep coming back to Jesus. Another way of thinking about the means of grace is as spiritual disciplines. They're spiritual habits like going to the gym or brushing your teeth. We work at making them part of our daily and weekly routines in the ordinary stuff of life so that we can keep on daily recentering on Jesus. Like going to the gym, over time, they build our spiritual muscles so that we grow. They engage our heads and our hands, and through them, our hearts. Through the means of grace, our minds are transformed as we encounter Christ in word and sacrament and song. And through the means of grace, we learn how to offer our bodies as living sacrifices in worship to God. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. So there's six spiritual disciplines which I'd encourage everyone here at St. George's to practice. The first is what we're doing right now, corporate worship on Sundays. Great to see you here. Number two is personal prayer and Bible reading. Fantastic. Getting our daily bread of God's word each day, responding to him in prayer. A third thing is being part of a Bible study group. This is where we can learn and grow together and find the support and encouragement of the body of Christ with a few closer folk. A fourth way is serving in ministry. There's so many different ways that the body of Christ grows, but it grows as people serve with the gifts God has given. And so I'm delighted in all the different ways that you contribute. A fifth one is giving generously. This helps our priorities get right. As we all know, the power of money. And so as we give generously, that helps us trust in God and encounter his provision for us. And finally, number six, our gracious witness, proclaiming the name of Christ to those around us as we have opportunity. Do you want to change and grow? Well, give yourselves to these means of grace. Through them, you'll encounter Jesus. They're not flashy. They're very ordinary. But they are what the Holy Spirit will use to transform you. So what about us corporately as a church? How can we together see people transformed by the light of Christ? Well, in our vision booklet, we've outlined four different strategies that we're currently working on. The first is by making Sunday a highlight of the week, by creating a culture of sharing and celebrating how God is transforming us and is at work in our lives. Just as there's no greater investment that you can make to your spiritual life by coming every Sunday to church, so the Holy Spirit does so much as we meet together. And we want to keep working to make our Sundays a treat, full of rest and refreshment. We continue to pray that our tech will work. but it's wonderful, isn't it, to meet together. And also hearing those stories of how God has been at work in people's lives, both with our formal partnerships, so love hearing from our missionaries and whatnot, Anglicare, but also in people's individual lives. And so I'm looking forward to hearing more stories of how God has been at work in your lives. Second thing we work on is growing and refreshing our key ministries and teams to be purposeful, connected, and sustainable, including through our servanthood pathway. God transforms us as we serve, and it's been a joy this year seeing so many of the new folk at church putting their hands up to serve. Thank you for that. It's brilliant. Our focus as a staff team over the coming months will be on setting up team leaders to be supported and to lead their teams well, which will grow our leadership capacity and facilitate our both our spiritual and numerical growth as a church. Number three, developing and implementing a long-term plan for youth ministry. It's been such a joy this year to have Erica join us as our youth trainee. She's been doing a marvelous job. We can sing her praise because she's out the back with the others. Thank her if you see her. She's done a great job not only investing in our teens but building a team around her as well. And we've seen them growing. We want to continue working on our partnerships with other youth groups so that our teens can hang out with their peers and find that encouragement too. And we keep working on our Kids Church program as well. And delighted as well Erica and David's work in just welcoming our young adults this year and helping them find community here. So that's been brilliant to see. And number four, expressing our prayerful dependence on God by establishing systems and ministries that facilitate informed and regular prayer. It's God who gives the growth. We can't grow without him. Everything we have is from him. And prayer is our greatest privilege as Christians to be able to come and speak with God as our Father. Through prayer, we're brought again into dependence upon God. And at the same time, he delights to answer if only we would ask. So 8:30 morning prayer each weekday morning. It is such a vital part of our church life. We had a particular focus this year on praying for Hope 25. God has answered those prayers, sometimes not in a way we've expected, but by bringing people to faith in Christ and also growing us numerically and providing people to serve in different areas. So praise God. It's been terrifically exciting seeing the Holy Spirit work amongst us this year. But prayer is still an area for us to grow in. We've attempted over the last few years having a quarterly parish-wide prayer meeting. These haven't really worked. So we're going to look at some alternatives to get us all praying together. And if you want to be a part of that or if you have suggestions, come and let me know. So there's our four different focus areas. As we finish, how will you be transformed by the light of Christ? We gaze upon Christ, growing more like him, to be secure, humble, and generous children of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves you, and he welcomes you as you are. But he loves you far too much to leave you as you are. He wants you to grow. He wants to transform you by the Holy Spirit so that you reflect and shine his glory. My prayer is that each one of us will give ourselves to those means of grace. Sunday worship, our personal prayer and Bible reading, Bible studies, serving in ministry, giving generously, our gracious witness. My prayer is that we will come with hearts longing to see Jesus and to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So why not start each day with this prayer? Lord, make me more like Jesus and show me where I need to change. And do that work in me by your Holy Spirit. And may God do his work of transforming us to be more like Jesus so that we can reflect his glory, shine his light to bless our neighbors and bring praise to his holy name. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for the gift of Christ, your abundant mercy and love poured out through his death for us, reconciling us to you, adopting us as your children. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit at work in us to change us to be like him, that we may shine with your glory. Please do that work in our hearts and in our lives, that we can grow to be all you've called us to be, that we can shine your light to those around us in blessing and witness. And Father, that all of this may be to the praise of your holy name. And we pray these things through Christ, our risen King. Amen.